This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's controversial.
The hell you fucking are!
It's what you won't see on TV.
I'm very, very fucking sick.
It's Major Bill Smith. Too hot for television.
My fucking nails grow. All the cotton picking women are jealous of my motherfucking fingernails.
It's the real Major Bill Smith. The man the censors didn't want you to hear.
There is no damn sharper dude on the face of this earth than Major Bill Smith.
Major Bill Smith, too hot for television. Get your copy and get to know the real Smith.
How do you like them f***ing apples, you greasy sucker?
Not available in stores.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
I'm Larry.
Ghostly things are gonna happen.
I beg pardon?
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah.
Probably yes.
Halloween spooks outside my window.
Well,
Halloween spooks
I'm just not feeling too perky, but...
The could see.
I'm lying in bed. There's a minister over there. People are all gathering around the bed.
You saw my picture of me and Jar Jar. The first thing you want to know is I'm getting it on with Jar Jar. I bet that kind of person died.
And I read the obituaries every day, look at the ages of the people that died.
I don't know, Don.
The only thing I worry about is dying.
I'm very, very sick.
Hands down, Michael Jackson.
Hello? Hello?
I'm Larry of the Corner.
Now, how about them apples?
Do I think we do too much?
What the hell is paying with Ben and Christmas? You know that?
If I knew I'd live this long, I'd take better care of myself.
There ain't no sharper dude on the face of God's earth than Major Bill Smith.
Probably yes.
Hey, man, you guys should come down and have a meal, man. I had Spam, and I had baby limas, and I had German potato salad, and...
Oh, wow.
...nice tomato.
I still at times, right before I fall asleep, wonder if I'm going to get up.
Would you identify yourself?
I'm Larry. I'm Larry of the Corner.
Well, my nails grow long. All the women are jealous of my fingernail.
Nope. Okay, let's do it this way.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll scratch yours if you'll scratch mine. The hell you're not!
I don't know. Do I think we do too much?
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
I am William Castle, the director of the motion picture you're about to see. I feel obligated to warn you that some of the sensations, some of the physical reactions, which the actors on the screen will feel, will also be experienced for the first time in motion picture history by certain members of this audience. I say certain members because, well, some people are more sensitive to these mysterious electronic impulses than others. These unfortunate, sensitive people will at times feel a strange, tingling sensation. Others will feel it less strongly. But don't be alarmed. You can protect yourself. At any time you are conscious of a tingling sensation, you may obtain immediate relief by screaming.
Who he?
Don't be embarrassed about opening your mouth and letting rip with all you've got, because the person in the seat right next to you will probably be screaming too.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
And remember this. A scream at the right time may save your life.
Ah!
I'm Major Bill Smith.
This town needs an enema.
Welcome to the Don and Michael Show.
I hope you're rotten hell, you loser!
Starring Don
Geronimo! You suck! You don't deserve a car!
Michael O'Mara!
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
hey, don't take those, man.
America's favorite junkie.
I'm so wasted.
Buzz, we're back.
Yee-haw! Welcome to the Don and Mike Show.
Also, I love it.
Also a favorite. That's a good one. That one is the one that we played yesterday. We just play like every other day.
It's a good one in a different way.
I like it. It's energetic.
And very homemade.
Who's your agent? Is he vigorous?
I'm Larry from the corner.
Anyway, that was courtesy of Paranoid. Paranoid?
That sounds scrumptious.
The Don and Mike Show. Not like any show that's got a lot of Major Bill in it.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi there.
Hello. Bob H.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe in you.
Hello. Homo.
Homo.
I get delirious.
Hey, come on now.
Delirious.
Hello.
Whoa, look out. Look out. Who's on the
I like every square inch of my glorious naked body.
I hope you said everything you wanted to say to me today, because it's the last chance you'll ever have.
Stay on the stick, baby. Stay on the stick.
I hope you said everything. You better say a bunch of extra prayers, because I hope you go to hell.
All right.
You're goddamn
Jesus. Wow.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I let you in just so I could feel you on top of it.
You are really hungover, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah.
Very much. How can you tell? Is it my eyes?
No, it's everything.
It's everything about me?
Body language. You could be doing a guest shot on CSI tonight.
I probably could. I could be on the slab right now.
You'd just be laying there.
Well, it was a big
night. Let me get more comfortable.
Well, hold on. How could you possibly get more comfortable than you were?
I don't think I could.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
You know as well as I do that you will be drunk tonight.
Stop it.
What?
Stop it. Everything's going at once. Just stop it.
I don't know. I dropped an awful lot of bombs on.
I know.
Thanks, Mage.
Hello.
Oh. Hi there.
Hi there.
Okay. Hi, Dynamite.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
You're a goddamn demon.
Just bring Ed in, please.
And now, ladies and gentlemen. It's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Big Ed. You can tell. I can smell it. As Prince would say, it's delirious.
Delirious, baby.
Don and Mike Show, new episode. Everybody on this Thursday. 1-0-2-6-6. It's October 26, 2006. Phone number, maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. 24 lines, no waiting from anywhere in America, including Canada, which is our 52nd state.
Is it really?
877-365-3636. Someday it will be, Rob.
Not according to Rob. They're going to attack us. No. That's what's going to happen.
Other way around. I got the inside intel. Other way around. We are annexing it.
Good.
So they're not massing on the border, Rob? Is that it?
Well, I'm sure they are.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that 82% of all Canadians live within 60 feet of the border?
I know. They're going to attack us, Rob. We know.
True.
Within 60 feet of the border.
Do you know we've managed to maintain that clear on that station in Toronto, Canada, for over 4 months now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Bravo.
So you shut up, you.
And look at you moving your neck around today.
Oh, yes. My goodness. Ah. Listen, hold on. Before I tell you about that.
Yes.
Phone number 877-365-3636. We're right there on your internet. Go to DonandMikeWebsite.com. Click on Listen Live. You'll hear us there. You can email us. Send us the fan mail. Yeah, Johnny. Johnny back there with his stocking cap. He's ready to take your emails and shred them immediately. So
yes.
Go ahead and send them in. And also we're there for iTunes and and iPods, and we have downloads on our website.
And all the good stuff.
And blah, blah. So listen.
And la, la.
Seriously, what a difference 24 hours makes.
That's for sure.
If only, if only one could put in a bottle, because it wears off real quick. And speaking of bottle, how you doing, Mike? If only one could put in a bottle, an elixir, if you will.
Yes.
Something that would allow you, as someone who had had an ailment of some sort, to bottle the enthusiasm you have for every little thing that you could not do the previous day or two.
Oh, yeah. That's
you're practically jumping around the studio today.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yesterday I was in a rough shape.
Yes.
Let me just say, a lesser man, a pussy broadcaster, would have phoned it in and would have gone to the doctor and would have
You were a trooper yesterday.
Gone with that whole meningitis thing.
I know you were hurting.
Couldn't move my goddamn neck. Couldn't move my goddamn head. Couldn't speak. Was feeling pain right here, like in the chestal area. Everything from the neck was just... Yeah.
Well, what happened?
What happened? Here you go. Oh, and also the taint issue.
That's cleared up also?
Also resolved.
Yeah.
Both of them.
So you don't have meningitis?
Absolutely not.
Ooh.
I'll tell you what I do have. I have a grade-A girlfriend.
Really?
Last night, I got home. I was...
A mini massage?
A mess. Yeah, now, I don't like people touching me.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like to be touched, as evidenced by, you know, Handies Across America, my favorite pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be touched, and I like to watch those being touched.
Yes. Well, you like touching yourself.
Given, yes.
Yes.
Of the Babe Ruth of that.
Exactly.
The Hank Aaron of that. Uh-huh. Maybe even the Barry Bonds of that. I'll take that. I don't care. The Mark McGuire of that.
Way to go.
Of pleasuring myself.
The Sammy Sosa.
But I've never been one that's big on massage. I went to an acupuncturist for a while, and it really helped, and I kind of got out of the routine. And Janet, my girlfriend, has maintained that the entire time I've known her that she's really good at deep tissue massage. This was something she used to do before.
I like that.
And I got home last night, and she said, really, how bad is it? And I said, really? And she saw that I had no mobility.
Yeah.
And she said, I know you're going to hate this. You got two choices. We are either going to call the doctor
right
now and like, embarrass the hell out of you and make you go, like, to one of those 24-hour places.
Oh, right.
Or lay down and take your shirt off.
Well.
Right. So.
Your choice.
Here we
clear.
Go. Play the music.
So, lay down on the bed. There it is. Virgin territory. Not that she's never touched my back, but...
Did she start down there?
What do you mean, Dad? Like, what, with my Duke?
Well, you have problems with your taint.
Oh, no. Oh, listen, the taint thing. She figured that out, too.
What's that?
Very simple. She went through my dirty clothes and discovered... Yeah.
Why are you applauding that?
Yeah,
you're right.
Courage.
Oh, no. Yeah, no kidding. There are things living there. There are creatures in my hamper that you don't even want to know about.
You.
My foul hamper. You know, even with the gypsies coming once a week and me doing laundry virtually nonstop, it seems there always is something creepy and brown in there.
Nasty.
Always something that
breeding.
Always something that looks like some test that came back from the doctor that's bad.
Yeah. It's breeding. It's the breeding ground for bacteria.
But on that front...
It's the hamper petri dish.
She went in and she said, are these the slacks that you wear when you exercise? And I said, yes. And she said, the trousers.
Your exercise trousers.
Your exercise
bell-bottoms. My bell-bottoms. Actually, they're very faggy. They're made out of, like, bicycle pan material.
Right.
And... the only reason I wear them is that I got them for free from the Baltimore Ravens.
Ah, nice.
And the Ravens wear them.
So even when you're all by yourself, you're exercising, you go for fashion.
Yeah, well.
Right?
Yes, of course I do.
It's very nice.
They're nice. They say NFL on them. They say Baltimore property of Baltimore Raven. They're super. So when you're
exercising, even though you're the only one in the room, you want to look good.
So I do the thing in the on the treadmill where I get good and sweaty, and then I take the dog outside for a walk. For about a half hour, we go a couple miles up and down the street. Well, she pointed out to me, you've been doing this for a while, but just now it's gotten cold outside.
Right, right.
She said, if you go cold outside, if you go outside and you are absolutely sweating, you've got this material in between your legs, which is pretty much nothing but
nylon, you know, as she said. And you've got all of this sweat and junk down there, and you go outside, and you go right to cold air, and you have friction going between for how long? A half hour, whatever. She said, when you get home, do you change your clothes? And I said, no.
Ah.
And she said,
that's the problem.
She said, no wonder you had diaper rash.
That's the issue.
No wonder.
It's sweat, it's cold, it's change of temperature.
Yeah, and it just happened yesterday. It happened on the same day as this other thing happened. So she said, I bet if you don't do anything and just monitor what you might have to actually change your sweatpants before you go outside.
Yes. Right.
I bet you don't have any more problem with your tank.
Right. So she cleared that up for you.
So once she said that.
Ooh, what a relief.
I was ready to take my shirt off.
Sure.
So.
She's the healer.
Take my shirt off, get on the bed, and right away, she starts poking and prodding.
Where?
On my neck, on my lower back, but mainly up by my shoulder area.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, I really don't, you're too tense for this. I said, of course I'm too tense. You're like sitting Indian style on my back.
Right.
You know, she said, well, I gotta get to this. She said, okay, I think I feel something. I said, I don't feel anything. She said, no, really, I'm gonna get to this. Hold on a second. She said, I'm gonna use my elbow.
Ooh.
And I said,
I like it.
Yeah. And I said, all right, because I hadn't been feeling anything except uncomfortable.
Right.
I said, sure.
Well, you said it went across your chest.
Yes.
Which is weird.
Yeah, right across the top
that's
of
weird.
My chest.
Still could be a muscle pull.
So, she dug her elbow into whatever this tender spot was that she had found. And my God, if it wasn't like 1,000 needles going through my back, I bucked her off the bed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
how. Does it hurt that bad?
I had no control. It was like, she hit such a nerve that I went, whoa! And I got up and
she hit the spot.
And yeah, she had tumbled backward. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I have a large king size bed. She was fine.
Wow.
She said, that's the spot. That's the problem.
She's a professional masseuse.
I said, what do you think so, doctor? I said, you know, what do we do now? She said, get ready for about, I don't know, 2, maybe 5, maybe 10 more minutes of that.
Yeah. Wow.
I said, you're essing me.
When did it start to feel good, actually?
Let me give you a timeline on this.
Okay.
I got home last night at 7:30. Janet arrived with dinner a little after 8. Very nice Thai food last night. Had my pate love that crap. That
pate?
Yeah, pate. That Thai food.
Right.
Was real good.
Sate?
It's pate. It's real good.
Pate was like liver. Goose liver.
I don't know. It's like it's noodles. I believe it's called pate.
That's called pasta.
It's pasta, right?
It's Thai food. I had it last night.
Yeah.
You eat it with chopsticks.
Is it P-A-T-E?
Like, I don't know. It's Thai food.
Pate.
Saute. I think it's with an S. Yeah.
Saute.
Yeah.
No, it's not saute.
He said it is.
like he knows.
Yes, I'm from Thailand.
Well, you eat Thai food.
He knows as much as I do.
I do.
I don't think it's saute.
S-A-T-A-Y. Saute or sate.
Sate.
Okay, well,
S-A-T-A-Y.
I've been ordering as pate or pata or whatever the hell
Pad Thai.
Pad Thai?
Pad Thai. That's two words.
Oh, Pad Thai.
P-A-D-T-H-A-I.
Is that what I have?
Pad Thai.
Pad Thai. Yeah. That has noodles. There we go. Now we've got it.
All right, well, that would be it.
Pad Thai.
Anyway,
very good.
So she was nice enough to go get this food that I like, this Thai food.
Right.
And this is at, I don't know now, 8:05. We're sitting down to eat. And that's when she started with me. She said, really, if we don't do something now, blah, 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 blah. So we go upstairs. She goes through the laundry. She figured that out. She got on top of my back at about 8:20. By 9...
I feel like we should be playing some sexy music for this.
Oh, no. Nothing sexy about this because she's saying to me stuff like, if you throw me off again, we're going to have to go to the doctor. You are just going to have to control yourself. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I know what I'm
doing.
You
have a low pain threshold. I mean, don't you really? I mean, you're sensitive to pain, unlike many men.
I have been clocked with the pain threshold of an 8-year-old.
That's, don't hurt me!
That is clocked. Okay? I have a very high threshold of pain. I used to be like a fourth.
No, it's a low threshold.
A 4-year-old. No, for me, that's high. Having the pain threshold of an 8-year-old is high. Used to be I had the pain threshold like of Rob.
See?
Rob's child, rather.
He's a
little Rob, you know, the 4-year-old Rob.
Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry. I got mad.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, Jesus.
Ow, ow, ow.
MF-er, MF-er, MF-er.
Right, it hurt.
I'm tougher than you think. You know that? I really
I know
am.
You're a tough guy.
I am tougher than you think. But
you
I
were here playing yesterday in
but
pain.
But I do a very low threshold for pain.
Don't hurt me.
But hit her back?
What?
Hit her back?
Hit her back.
Rob. Found that
what, anyway, you hit her in the back?
No.
She causes pain on me. I cause pain.
What she did was she
you reciprocate.
She, in a way, very masterful, dug her elbow in and then the palm of her hand and kept pushing and pushing and pushing and finally until I could feel exactly what it was that she was going after. Uh-huh. And I was laying there going, oh, that's it. Oh, my God, that's it. Yeah. Oh, my God, my head is not hurting now.
Right.
Oh, my God. And she said, okay, now what I'm really going to have to do, I'm going to put my knee into this.
Yeah. Like, so she went from the elbow to the knee.
To the knee. So now, yeah, it was like the kinkiest thing that's ever happened in my bedroom. She's up on top of me. With
was
the
she
knee,
fully clothed with the when knee, this was happening?
With the knee.
Say no.
She
had a burka.
No, she had her full work suit on.
Her jumpsuit.
She had her nice business suit on. No, she had her cat of nine tails. Uh-huh, she good. Had
the leather bodice.
Her crotchless panties and her leather bra that exposes her nipples.
And she was wearing devil horns.
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah, you know,
she didn't have the devil horns.
I was trying to make it work for me.
Make it your own. Mike.
Right.
Anyway, she gives me the knee, and once she gave me the knee, it was like, I said, oh, F, and it was like an OF with sex. It was like, I said,
oh, good.
Oh, F, God, yes. Oh, oh, God, God, jeez. I
mean, sounds like completion.
It felt like
it was close.
So, at this point, I roll over and she says, I got a heating pad. Let's get you on the heating pad.
Right.
I look at the clock and it is 9:01 p.m.
Like a half hour.
Right, half hour. She said, why don't you just lay here on the heating pad, we'll watch some TV, then we'll go back downstairs and finish dinner. The next thing I know, it was 6:15 this morning when I woke up.
Wow.
Everything was locked up, everything was put away. I got up and...
Your wallet was gone.
And my neck...
That's about the time I went to bed.
My neck feels 1,000% better.
Good.
I mean, and whatever it was, whatever malady it was that I had yesterday, we said it was like it was hurting when I was swallowing and everything else.
Right.
I love to swallow. That's gone.
So the whole thing, the whole area.
Yes,
I told you it was muscular,
tied up in knots.
Yeah. Well, I should have listened to you, not to Dr. Mangala over
Dr.
there.
Dr. Death thought it was meningitis.
Dr. Giggles had me thinking it was meningitis.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Janet. That's
well, you
just,
look better. You look good.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah,
I mean,
cool.
Like I said, if you could just bottle it, because I know that it's already started to wear off.
Yeah.
Today, when I was driving into work, when I realized that I wasn't able to just swing my head around and say, "Hey, jerk off." One to a customer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a real problem on Montrose Road.
Yes.
With
the people that go 12 miles an hour?
Merging.
Yeah, merging.
Merging into construction traffic.
People don't know how.
And what are they building there? What are they doing? What are they doing on Montrose Road?
They're building a monument to us, Mike. That is
ridiculous.
The only, that is the only reason that I don't complain about
well,
the construction
Well, I want them to stop it. I want them to stop it right now.
But
But I had some guy today. I was coming off an exit. Anyone around the country can relate to this. Off the Beltway, a major highway, coming off an exit to the smaller highway by our studios.
Right.
And there's a gigantic construction project there every single day.
Yeah.
And it merges from the left lane or from the right to the left, and it's three lanes down to one.
Right.
And at one point, they have traffic cones up, and there are lanes of traffic that you are merging with.
Mm-hmm.
But because people are sheep and lemmings and they see the big sign with the arrow saying a mile and a half ahead this is going to happen.
Do you get people that stop on the actual merge?
Yes.
Where they're coming, where there's no reason. They see the cars on their left and they should keep moving, but they stop.
Now, I know that if you go like to a driving school, they say you should keep, I don't know, three car lengths ahead of you. These people in traffic that's going 5 miles an hour have four car lengths in front of them.
That's crazy.
What I did today, coming off the off-ramp, getting down by where you merge, I counted 17 cars in front of me to get to the merge.
Right.
So what I did
insane.
I just cut through the barrels. I cut through you guys know what I'm saying?
Yes,
very illegal.
A lot of people do that.
I cut through the barrels, but only because...
Don't let a law officer see you.
Only because there was four car lengths available,
right
there in the left hand, in the left lane. I pulled through, fell all proud of myself, and right away I hear from behind me, I get this.
Oh.
And I turn around from three car lengths.
Right.
Some bitch, you know, screaming at me.
Was it an expensive car she was driving?
Of course. Look, well, you know the neighborhood, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a very nice car.
It's a little wealthy around here.
And it was at that moment I realized, you know, oh, I wish I had my magic elixir from this morning when I was so happy, because yesterday I couldn't flip my head around to say, hey, you stupid bitch, I drive on this road every single day, and it's not for a mile and a half down the road.
Right.
And I wouldn't even be able to do it if you didn't have a football field between you and the car in front of you.
Amen.
Anyway, that's it.
Needles.
Pep talk over.
Pep talk over.
Pep talk over. Taint is fine.
Look at you today. You're bouncing around.
Taint is fine. Back is fine.
He's back.
Feel good. And
what's
you?
What's that like?
What's that like?
I feel so bad.
What happened,
so
Pally?
Bad.
What happened, Pally?
I stayed out too late.
Oh, my.
I mean way, way late.
How late?
I don't remember.
4?
Maybe.
4 a.m.?
Yeah. Yeah, probably there. Or later.
Later than 4.
Later than 4 a.m.
It's an after party. Well, I met a famous person, and I had him back to my house.
Oh, how nice.
With a bunch of other people.
Well, tell everybody. He's a NASCAR guy. People will know who he is.
All right, let me read about him here. He's in USA Today today.
Uh-huh.
Hamlin's second-place finish combined with Burton's 42nd allowed the rookie to move up to 4th in the Nextel Cup standings.
Right. He drives the FedEx car. His name
Number 11 Chevrolet from Joe Gibbs Racing, Denny Hamlin.
Ah.
Other than that, I'm out. I don't know a lot about racing. I was talking to him about, well, this is the condition I was in. I was talking to him about not getting married.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's 25, and he's worth about, what, $14 million, something like that?
He's in the top five in the
All I know is he was leaving this morning on his private jet.
Mm.
So he was, and he's 25. I mean, he looks like he's 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hanging out with the guy, and then it's like we had so much fun. I said, everybody back to my house.
Well, one of those nights.
And
my God.
I'm not supposed to do that during the week. And I'm really, really feeling horrible today. I'm probably not supposed to do it ever.
No, really, you're
but
not.
But really,
to.
Oh, God.
Mike,
I'm ready
to
drive myself to rehab today.
This is probably also going to upset the balance of the diet.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
ate a quarter pounder today.
Well, I'm just talking about the last night.
Well, the whole thing is just surreal.
The quarter pounder today.
But he was a very nice man and a very nice guy. And, you know, and he came in with a bunch of his buddies, and I had them all back to my house. And I was the perfect host. And when Carla said, because she went to bed early, when she said, what time did you come to bed? I said, right. Exactly.
So what did you do?
She said, were you eating potato chips? I said, well, obviously, there's a trail of them going to the bed. So I was eating potato chips.
So you had this NASCAR guy, this famous NASCAR driver. He was in your joint last night, in your pub.
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Well, he had to be if he ended up at your house.
Well, I do remember him. He was at my joint and then at my house. I'm not really good on details today. No, my wallet was good. My butt was not bleeding.
I was fine. Did he give you a mini massage?
No, he didn't. He was surrounded by women and by, you know, guys, and people wanted his autograph, and I got my picture taken with him. And, you know, I don't know a lot about NASCAR, so I was talking to him about other stuff, and I guess he liked the fact that I was just talking to him about stuff.
Right.
And then he ended up, you know, coming over with his buddies to the house, and then everybody left at the wee hours of the morning. I think I kicked him out.
Did he leave
any? I think it might have been one of those nights where I said, okay, please leave.
Did he leave any DNA? Only because you could put the DNA on the eBay if you had something he had.
All I know is certain pockets of people at my restaurant
touched.
Were going nuts over this guy. They were going absolutely out of their mind. They were that excited. And I got excited because I know NASCAR's a big thing. And I got my picture taken. And we got the autograph. And we're going to put his little number 11 FedEx, you know, car picture up on the wall with a picture. We're very excited about that. And then I read in the USA Today, I'm looking at this, and he's the top four driver in NASCAR.
Big deal.
Yes, he is.
I mean, with Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin.
What were you primarily drinking?
I don't remember.
Mike?
A little bit of everything.
You've been drinking today.
Mm-hmm.
Start beer?
Technically, yes.
Yes, I have, Dr. Phil.
Have you ever said no?
Not last night, no. Yes, Dr. Phil, I'm waiting.
You are in denial.
No, I'm not. I know what I did, and I know it was bad, and I feel bad today.
You know as well as I do that you will be drunk tonight.
No, I guarantee that's not going to happen.
Today we're talking about drunken mistakes.
Yes. It wasn't
you're
a mistake.
In a fog. You're
I was partying with a NASCAR driver.
You're in a fog. You're
what?
In a haze.
I am
you're in a fog. You're in a haze.
Shut
your
up,
reasoning
man.
Ability, your compass is way, way off.
It
you.
Is today.
You better say a bunch of extra prayers because I hope you go to hell.
Now, why are you being mean to me like that, Bill? I'm doing perfectly.
I think that's a load of crap.
What's a load of crap?
I am not going to be treated like this anymore.
Oh, stop it.
Set your ass down. You're not going anywhere.
What do you mean? I'm here. I'm not
no,
going
I don't
any...
think I would agree that
stop
it's
stop interrupting me. Stop interrupting me, Dr. Phil.
You are the rudest, most disrespectful a-hole I have ever met.
You're an a-hole, and you can go straight to hell with that,
I'm
Dr. Phil.
I'm just all that and a bag of chips.
I don't care what you are. I don't like your tone.
I hope you said everything you wanted to say to
no,
me
I didn't.
Today, because it's
no.
the last chance you'll ever have.
Oh, really? Big man, why? You leaving? Gonna cry? Gonna cry?
If you don't take another drink today,
yes.
you're gonna be drunk for 6 months.
You're right about that.
You are drunk at a tissue level.
You're right about that also.
You just don't value yourself enough.
I know.
The fact that you would let them touch you
he didn't
is
touch
disgusting,
me.
Do and know? I don't want
the NASCAR
you to
driver,
ever do it again.
The NASCAR
the rest
driver
of your
did
life.
Not touch me, Dr. Phil.
Are you a drunk?
Yes.
Today we're talking about drunken mistakes.
Well, I don't think it was a mistake because how many people would like to have a NASCAR Nextel Cup driver come to their house?
You are in denial.
Well, maybe you're right.
You like attention, don't you?
I love attention. Not today, though.
God, you're ugly.
Mm-hmm. I feel ugly, Dr. Phil. Now we're making progress.
No, I don't think I would agree that it's inappropriate.
What if, I didn't say anything about appropriate.
That's inappropriate.
What's inappropriate?
That's violating a boundary.
Well, I'm not even near you. What is your problem?
I will never kiss your big, fat, square ass, and that's what will be required in order for us to get along.
It's not square, Baldy.
You better say a bunch of extra prayers, because I hope you go to hell.
Yeah, I hope you go straight there. I'll be following you, buddy.
Today we're talking about drunken mistakes.
You're repeating yourself, you asshat.
You can suck this.
You can, too. You can suck this. You know what I'm pointing to? Phil?
Have you ever said no?
No, I haven't, McGraw. You got me, McGraw?
Mind your own effing business.
You
leave
do that.
Me the F alone.
All right.
I hate you.
I hate
F you.
You. Yeah,
shut the F up.
Right. Yeah, I
think
agree.
You are way out of control.
I think you're out of control.
You need serious,
yeah.
serious help.
Yeah, you do. I think you're a pussy.
Shut the F up.
Hey! Them's fighting words.
What are you, a moron?
Yes, I am.
You are the rudest, most disrespectful a-hole I have ever
Thank
met.
You. Thank you very much, Phil. Phil McGraw, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's been some real-time counseling for Mike.
That is. I think it did me some good. I
yes.
feel like I actually feel like I'm making progress already.
As always with your stories of the night before, you know, we're left with just pretty much a half-empty canvas. It's just
it's you and
a NASCAR guy.
It's
and
me. It was my co-owner of the restaurant.
But,
it was a bunch of people from the restaurant.
But we don't care about
that.
Mike, we hear about you. What did you do? What did you have to drink? Did you have a lampshade
Wine.
On your head?
Wine.
Did you carry on?
Beer.
Did you dance? Did you sing?
Redheaded sluts.
Did you perform?
No.
Did you ape? Did you do some of your famous aping?
No, I don't think I did any of that. But I did do, you know, the tour of my house where I was showing everybody, like, pictures of my father and my grandfather that nobody cared about. And I have that memory of showing a couple of people those pictures. And, you know, when people are just being polite. And I did vibe off of them where they're going, oh, yeah, wow, yeah, wow, that's really, really neat. And I'm like,
and this is a picture of my grandfather. I never met him. He had my father when he was old, and my father had me when he was old, and that's the reason that they're so old.
That was,
Because really, I got a picture of my paternal grandfather that looks like it was taken back, you know, in the wild, wild west.
Was the NASCAR guy who's standing there for this?
No, I think he was in the kitchen. I don't think I didn't get weepy. I might have. Wait a minute. I might have towards the end of the evening.
Sure. When did you get weepy?
No, I don't think I got weepy. It was too exciting. It was too exciting having like this big superstar. But the thing I remember is he was a baby. I mean, 25 years old. He looks a lot younger. If you see his picture, he looks like a really, you know, a really young guy. And I have the pictures and they're all nude. No, it's, he's just a little guy. And then somebody was like whispering in my ear, you know, when you get a win at NASCAR, just how much money these guys make. I mean, they get a base salary that's like in the millions, and then if they win a race, they can translate that into millions and millions, and it's just a...
No, you know what I say, Mike.
Just people.
They're just people.
That's right. Take the dollar signs away.
But because I didn't, fawn on him, because I don't know NASCAR that well, I think we were able to have a very nice conversation.
I'm sure.
Which consisted of me saying...
Do you remember?
I do remember earlier in the evening, and it was something about me saying, let me tell you something. You get yourself a prenup, that thing. And I think he said he already has one, even though he hasn't met Miss Wright yet.
Boilerplate.
He's got one, like, ready to go if he does.
Put it in his glove box of his NASCAR car.
If you had walked into my joint last night and you'd seen this guy, you would never, ever peg him to be like a NASCAR guy.
He wasn't dressed in a NASCAR
car. He wasn't wearing the jumpsuit, Rob. He wasn't wearing the jumpsuit. He was very, you know, he had a pair of jeans on. He had a black T-shirt.
You're smitten. You know
and,
what?
I like famous people. I like people that are down to earth, you know, and are very cool, you know, and I thought he was very, very cool. And then, you know, the only way I was able to tell how heavy this guy was by people around him. Because as soon as it got out, you know, people started gravitating and then he starts signing autographs. And it's, you know, there, I guess NASCAR, isn't that still the fastest growing sport?
Yeah.
Follow it,
more
I don't.
More so today.
Yes.
I really don't know much about it.
You're funny.
But I'm going to be following that. I want everybody in Atlanta this weekend to follow the number 8 car.
You drunk bastard.
At the Bass Pro Masters 200 or whatever.
You're trying to read from the newspaper.
No, I read it earlier. Where is it?
NASCAR has one more.
I'd like everybody to watch the Bass Pro Shops 500 at the Atlanta Motor Speedway Sunday at 2:55.
With your buddy.
On NBC. And root for the 11 car, the FedEx car. Driven by Denny Hamlin, my buddy. My new friend. I really did have to look at the
you
newspaper.
You had to look at the newspaper.
I remember the first name is
you
Denny.
You had to look at the newspaper to remember his name right
I remembered
now.
I remembered that the first name was Denny, and I just had to... And I knew it was the second name was like a Star Wars name, so, you know, Hamlin, something like Denny Hamlin. And he races for, you know, our own coach of the Redskins here, Joe Gibbs, which isn't that special.
Is that why he was in town?
No, he was in town because a guy that I do know, in fact, a guy that used to live in my old neighborhood, was in racing too, and he used to race for him. And he won a bunch of races.
This kid had
an amazing track record with, he's raced.
I know he's a rookie, but
do I really sound, do I lack credibility when I'm trying to talk about racing?
Mike, let's talk more about you.
You go right ahead. I'll answer anything you have to ask me.
How many do you believe you had last night?
It's not, let's not count.
20?
Sure. Rob, you know, I don't need Mr. Greenbottle every night of the week over there going, wow. Rob's looking at me like, almost disapprovingly.
No.
Or like, wow, that's incredible.
He's impressed.
It's not a healthy lifestyle. It's not a healthy...
I appreciate the openness.
You know the kind I had last night is the kind where daddy takes some time off. That's the kind it was. And you know I do that occasionally. Periodically I take my little month off. Well, the month began last night in the wee hours of the morning.
Are you not going to drink until Thanksgiving? Because as I recall...
At least Thanksgiving.
As I recall, I am not a historian of this show by any stretch of the imagination, but I do remember last year you had a real drunk and you swore on the
right about the same time
that we're not going to drink until Thanksgiving, and
right.
I don't think you did.
I made it all the
not
way.
Not that
through.
I'm holding you to that standard.
I'm
now,
telling you that.
Or am I a person who could hold anybody?
The Wednesday before Thanksgiving, right now, is without question. That's the date.
Right now.
That's right now because right now because I'm seriously thinking even longer than that. I think this might, based on last night and the fact that I worked today, and that I would not have stayed at my place after dinner unless this big NASCAR guy came in. I do not like coming to work feeling this way. This is not a pleasant way to feel, and I really think that, look, you know, do you want really the honest answer about the way I think about hooch and the fact that I own a bar and that I'm around booze all the time?
Sure.
It is a very, very serious thought that I have in my mind that, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be, and I think that this game, really, we're getting to the fourth quarter. We are getting to the fourth quarter as far as being able to do this. And I don't think I'm a moderation person. And I think really, you know, I don't think I could sit there and be the moderating kind of guy And I think you gotta, at a certain point, you know, just pull the plug on it. And each year, over the last 2 years, I've taken 2 months, one in the spring and one in the fall, and, you know, I take it off, and I feel better than I've ever felt at the end of that period of time. And that's why I think, hey, it's fun if you're like in your 20s and 30s, but when you get into your 40s, then your late 40s, it's just not, it's not fun. I mean, all the people I was around last night were younger people than I was. And it was really just...
Mike, you've got the drinking stamina of an 18-year-old.
Yeah, but it's just not...
You're a young stallion today, in the world of drinking.
Today, I would not... I would. When I was 28, 29 years old, I would not feel as bad as I feel today. And I think that's because...
Like,
and
Mike,
everybody I talk to...
Like any athlete.
Yes.
Any athlete that
right.
runs the ball for 100 yards... They're going to be more banged up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday as their career goes on.
I just, no, but you know what?
You're a Hall of Fame drinker.
I'm like, what's his name for Jerome Bettis. Remember when you saw that piece on him coming down the stairs? Well, that's my liver. That's my liver coming down the stairs.
So it's last night your Super Bowl then?
It might have been. I really feel like crap.
No.
I don't like coming into work and feeling this way.
No, you'll change
I really
your
don't
mind.
Like feeling. I might change my
you'll
mind.
You'll change your mind maybe by tomorrow.
No, the thing. No, no, no. I guarantee that you know, Thanksgiving, because that's what I did last year.
No, no. I mean, you'll change your mind tomorrow about maybe.
Wasn't last year like Halloween till
an absinthe
Thanksgiving?
Show
that
was in there somewhere.
An absinthe show.
And that's what it was. An absinthe show that started here and ended at your bar.
This is worse. This is. Worse, because it was wine, and that's anybody that knows a wine hangover is the worst hangover.
But you said a redheaded slut too. What is that?
That is like a shot. That's a concoction
of what?
You know, of
like a shooter.
I think peach schnapps and Jägermeister and cranberry juice.
That sounds good.
Oh, and it tastes great.
Yeah, they're fine.
Tastes great, less filling, but just bleh. You know, really, you know how they say what wine after beer, have no fear, something like that. I mean, it didn't matter to me because there were just all sorts of combinations that were just horrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, can I say something? And I know I'm not at his level of celebrity.
Who's that?
But Ed McMahon. Huh? Ed McMahon never came out and was this forthright about his activity.
No, he stayed in denial.
I'll drink to that.
What?
He stayed in denial.
I'm not in denial. That's the one thing.
No,
I'm not in one little bit of denial. And I'll tell you something. The way I feel today, my tummy, you know when I, you know, really when I started feeling good?
When?
About 30 seconds ago. And it's because when I talk to you, friend, it's when I talk. When I do my little psychotherapy on the air, this is, you know, I learned it from you. It really does work, doesn't it? It helps with all your demons when you can come in here and you can talk about it.
All right, so now.
But I feel good. And now I'm excited.
So now you feel good.
Now that I feel good.
Now you feel
but,
good.
No, but the attitude about the hooch, I'm very. No, I did it last year. I went from, I think, the absinthe show to. The night before
well,
Thanksgiving.
Well, listen, you're a grown man. It's free will. I mean, do whatever the hell you
will.
Want.
I'm doing what I think will make me feel better.
I don't think you're Jerome Bettis. You know what you are? You're Tiki Barber, and you're getting out while you still can, and you're still on top.
I think you're right about that. I think you're right about
that.
You're
very well spoken.
You know, except Tiki Barber's not talking about taking a month off and then coming back.
Yeah, I have to. That's going to be my evaluation period.
So you're going to think about retiring from drinking?
Boy, that's a big, big statement.
Are you going to think about retiring from drinking?
Well, I have thought about it. I have thought about it. But, I mean, I also don't want to say I'm going to do something and then not follow through
with it. But you've been so close to the championship of drinking so many years, Mike.
What do you mean close? Oh, I think I've had the ring. I think I've got a few rings. I got more rings than anybody in this room, that's for sure.
Okay.
I truly do.
That's for you, champ.
Now, you guys are, you know... The way you do it, the way you fellas do it is a little different. I still do it like I did it in high school. You know, you guys go home, you have your little cocktail.
I hope you didn't do it like that in high school.
Well, I mean, when I was 18, you know. I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're
I should have said college.
High school, ninth grade.
No, it's the whole deal where I don't come home at night, most nights and have a cocktail. I'll go out one, or two nights a week and have a bunch of cocktails.
Make up for lost time.
And you know what? I don't think that's a healthy way to do it.
That's what I hear.
All right.
But I feel like it, you know, that this is my system because of this driver and the big party that everybody got caught up in last night. This is my time to take my little month off, which I do anyway. I do that every year.
Now what,
I take
now
2 months off a year.
What happens if you're in your joint this weekend and Jeff Burton comes in?
Who's he?
He's another very famous driver. He drives a singular
big
car.
Big name. I think you mentioned his last
name. He used to be number one. He might still win the cup this
year.
He's
number five. Uh-huh. One behind Denny Hamlin.
All right, what if
house guest of O'Mara. House guest of me. God, I should have taken more pictures.
Yeah.
Damn it. I would have loved to drive him to his plane, but I couldn't drive. I was driven.
Jesus.
And incidentally, that's what I'm driven everywhere now. I'm driven everywhere.
You know, there
can
are
I
people,
seriously talk
and
about...
I've heard people say you're not driven. You are driven, Mike.
You know, I'm not giving them a plug, but I will tell you about a business that they have approached me with it that we're supporting at the restaurant. And I hope this thing takes off. But you know what it's called?
What?
It's great. I hope I'm not getting it wrong, but I think it's called Scooter Cab. Well, if you go out and you've had a little bit too much to drink,
yeah,
these guys are like licensed, insured,
oh, hey, listen,
and they will put a scooter in the trunk of your car.
I saw this,
drive you to your house,
I saw
and then
this,
they'll scooter back to where
I saw this
go.
On the news. This started in Los Angeles a year ago.
So it's not an original idea.
No, it's not.
Oh, maybe see, I got so excited.
Maybe it's even a franchised idea.
Well, these are local guys that are doing it.
Because
and they were coming and they came into my joint, and they've got big yellow jackets that say designated driver, and I think it's fabulous.
Wow.
I think it's a good idea, but I was thinking
so
if you were
you
like...
Get home, did you get home on a scooter last
no,
night?
No, no.
Somebody drove you home.
Yeah, my girlfriend was not partaking last night, and so she gave me a lift home. And then the real celebrating started when everybody arrived at my house.
Sure.
That was the mistake. See, this is a combination of too much fun.
Otis, my man!
Too much festivity, and also a serious, serious lack of sleep.
What this is, this is the perfect storm. This is every ingredient for a bad hangover coming into one. You drank too much, you drank too long, and it's
and too late.
And too late.
How much sleep?
God. Well, I slept a lot.
What time did you get up?
I got up, I got up probably about 11:30 this morning. So I slept till, I slept for about 2 hours. No, I don't know. You know, you're asking me the question that Carla asked me. What time did you come to bed? And that, I am afraid, I will not be able to tell you.
Was the sun up yet?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, because that was like 7:15
sunrise.
Well,
it was dark. Right.
It was dark.
It was very, very dark. It was a dark and stormy night. No, it was it was very, very, very dark. And I think that I really have no idea. I know it had to be late because it was after closing time.
I've taken months off too.
You have?
Maybe not a whole month, but I've taken periods off.
Well, I don't think I made a whole month, with that
close
absence
to
show to,
no.
Thanksgiving was not, it was more like 3 weeks.
I think it was 3.5 weeks. Yeah. But the thing is when you are nearing the end of this month, it's going to be the holidays. That's the best.
Well, that's why I.
But you're
do
saying
it now.
That you're saying that maybe this is it, because you might want to just.
I say that a lot more than I used to.
Might be good as January 3rd.
Because somebody said, when you it's not like I have to have something when I get up in the morning or any of that. I feel so bad physically that it's absolutely a piece of cake for me for days, even weeks to say, ugh, enough of that. Because you feel too bad.
Yeah.
Even when you're with a NASCAR driver, it's not worth it. It's not worth punishing your body and waking up in the morning and coming in here. My God, it's late afternoon,
but what
and
about,
I still feel like crap. That's not fun.
What about when you balance it so you're just starting to feel good about one? And you still
no.
come to work and it's okay.
No, it's you wake up in the morning feeling bad. The greatest thing in the world, you know this.
What?
The best thing in the world is getting up at crack of dawn on a weekend morning and having the whole day and doing that. And you trash that if you get too festive at night.
Right.
So, barring some incredible NASCAR driver walking into my life in the next month, daddy's taking a little hiatus. I have to. It's a good thing, but it's something I've done before. Whether that hiatus lasts for a longer period of time, you'll be the first to know.
Through November 26th?
Absolutely. Yeah.
A month.
And my problem is peer group pressure, too, because, people that imbibe like to be around people that imbibe. But I've got many strategies that I handle that with, too. That is that's something I'm very good at, and I should probably not be saying this on the radio, but I know how to do this.
What?
In fact, my waitresses and bartenders at my joint know how I do this, too. And it's the old...
Oh, would you drink ginger ale?
No, soda water, a little lime in it, and you put it in the... right kind of glass, and it looks like you're having a fine old time.
Uh-huh.
I've even gone so far as to put water in a beer bottle so I don't get the, hey, come on, what are you doing? Come on.
Okay.
I fight that all the time.
But what if, God forbid, over the next month,
what?
Yes, Rob. Right. Now, Rob, why am I feeling now? Don is being very, like, objective with this, really not, you know, not saying one thing on either side. You, on the other hand, are the devil.
Just listening.
You are the devil on my shoulder for some particular reason here.
I don't want to lose you.
No one does. As far as the family of drinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something.
Well, how often, seriously, how often do you and I go out and tie one on?
Almost
not like
never.
We used to,
but,
you know.
But we have that link. We have that bond. And that's good. I can relate.
You know what I don't think I'm capable of doing? And this is where, you know, when you take the little test.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm capable of, well, I'm capable of doing it on occasion, but it's not easy for me to go do the, you know, the two drinks after dinner and, you know, to bed, what a day. I'm not real good at that. If I'm out, you know, and I have a couple of glasses of wine with dinner,
it kind of
it kind of escalates and, right. And goes on and on and on.
And it's a gateway drink.
Mike. Yes. That's really the
wine is a gateway drink that you're first given in church. So blame God.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I blame is the excitement of celebrity in my little town. You know, we don't get celebrities out there, so it was a real big deal, and I was caught up in the wave of NASCAR excitement.
Well, this is
I really was. And Denny Hamlin is my driver.
A historic day.
Is it Denny
Hamlin? Not on my show history.
What is it?
They're saying it like Denny Crane.
Denny Hamlin. Mike has stopped drinking.
That's easy for me to do today, incidentally, to do that Denny Crane voice. Because I do. Seriously, I sound like William Shatner today. I'm feeling that way. Denny Crane.
You do look peaked.
Well, I feel better than I felt about an hour ago.
You look better.
Were you smoking?
Yes.
Heavily. The perfect storm. That makes
it
hangover.
Yeah, it does. I think really, Don, that I do some good by coming in here and sharing my vices with all of our listeners so that they can, if not enjoy the same lifestyle themselves,
this is learn from you.
Certainly live vicariously through me. And, you know, when it comes to my vices and it comes to my foibles, I believe I'm an open book. I believe I let people know what I deal with. And with that,
I'm with you.
I'm now asking permission to go home.
No,
Thank you. What a day.
I stayed yesterday. Mm-hmm. You have to stay today.
Fine.
Okay.
No problem.
Come on, make it happen.
Hey, you know what? You know, really? Being here is not the problem. The problem is that lovely little drive. You know, which is just, you know, when you're talking about Montrose Road, you're preaching to the choir there. Because really, it's just, you know, you're not feeling well.
Right.
And you've got the lady going 1 mile an hour in front that sees, for some reason, as you said, looks to the left and sees the two lines of traffic merging and feels she has to stop. And I, you know what? I didn't even have the energy. I didn't have the energy to hit my horn.
Right.
I didn't have the energy to flip her off. I was just, you know what I was doing?
And who were you driving with? Like your pinkies?
No.
just your pinky, just barely on the wheel.
No, this would have been the look that I'm giving her. It's just like, she's stopped in the merge lane, I'm stopped in back of her, and I am just sitting there and looking at her like this.
Yeah.
Just the combination of exhaustion and disgust.
Man. Yes. She broke your spirit.
That's exactly what I was feeling.
All right, well, what do we call this segment, for goodness sakes? Mike quits again.
Good luck, Mike.
Mike quits again.
Donnie feels better. Mike feels worse.
Okay, well,
that's
the name
of the segment.
You'll feel better tomorrow.
I'll feel much better tomorrow.
Feel better tomorrow.
I'll come in here with a stiff neck doing cartwheels.
Okay.
Well, he had a stiff neck. Oh. So don't look at me like that. It's tough enough without you giving the quizzical. What do you possibly mean? You made no sense, fat ass. Listen,
you're breaking his heart. You know what it's like?
Well, he doesn't care.
No, he cares. Listen,
he cares that I quit drinking.
Here's the thing, Mike.
What?
Like that you drink.
Huh?
You know, like that you do.
I know you do.
You know that he doesn't really follow sports.
Right.
So he doesn't have that.
I remember when Don didn't drink.
He remembers that.
Yeah.
He does remember the idol worship that you and I do.
This is
when we were kids. He looks to you. You're the Joe Montana of drinking.
You are.
I know. But I'm quitting.
And
Rob.
Did you hear him? He said when you said you're quitting for a month. He said, but you don't want to quit till the end of the year. I don't know if you heard him say this or not.
Right.
Because you do have the holidays
coming. It's the holidays.
Like, that would be your Super Bowl season.
That's the best time to drink.
It truly is.
It's cold. People are in good moods.
Yes.
Parties.
No, I wish not to...
Maybe if you want to stop,
I wish not to participate in it. I wish to profit from it. There. I've said it.
You're being a bad pimp to your mistress, the bottle.
Yes.
Your bottle. You sell that bottle, but you won't suck on that bottle.
I might.
That's the hangover speaking.
See, now, hold on. I just say you
well,
might.
Well, no, I'm taking the month off. It's right back where we were. I'm going to Thanksgiving.
Annual.
And, you know, after that, I'll see how I feel. I'll see where I go from there. But I haven't shut the door completely. But I'd sure love to be able to. I really would. I'd love to be able to say, you know, that's it. You know, it was a good ride. It was a good ride, but it's hard.
Fall break.
It's really, really hard when you do what I do with my second little job. You know, I mean, because I'm around it all the time. And boy, you know, not that I don't love everybody, but you know this stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know this little rule.
You got to be drunk to have that job at the restaurant because you got to walk around. You know, if someone says that they don't like the way their hamburger was cooked.
No, that's not me.
Because
that's illegal.
Don't you get caught in that sometimes?
No, not anymore. No. You can't do that. You can't do that anymore because if I'm doing that and I'm serving that role, that's against the law.
All right,
I don't have anything to do with that.
You
know what I do? I say hi to my friends, and what I am is like Mr. Happy Greeter guy.
So then you're like the skipper. When Frieda and I went to Alan Hale's restaurant.
I'm like,
he was a greeter. He walked around.
I'm like Chuck E. Cheese.
The reason that, Frieda and I went to Alan Hale's restaurant, the late Alan Hale's restaurant, was because he was there.
Right.
It was called Skipper's, right?
It was called Skipper's. It was, and it had
but I'm no skipper.
A flotation device outside. Sure
I'm
you
no,
are.
No, I mean, you know when I knew where I
didn't
rated.
I didn't mean that as a put down.
No, I know you didn't, but I'm saying I'm no skipper because, I mean, I'm not at that level.
No, you're the skipper of that restaurant.
It's like people were knocking me over to get to this NASCAR driver last night.
Oh, come on.
They were knocking me over. They didn't know who the hell I was.
Please, Ed, for the skipper.
You ever been next to somebody famous and somebody comes up and they don't even like you? They look at you like, what did he write?
For the skipper, that would be like if Maxwell Smart came in.
This is from the back room. Joe says you are not the skipper. You are a foppish bon vivant.
That's from Joe?
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
Joe,
I take that as a compliment, okay?
Yeah. But here's what I don't get. Even if you just got to walk around and, like, be a host, because it's your name on the place,
right,
so people can see you, how could you tolerate all those drunk people saying hello if you weren't drunk yourself?
That is the million-dollar question. I mean, really, that is the million-dollar question. Question.
All right, Mike, let's pick this up next week. I see our hour is just about over.
How much do I owe you? That was really, really therapeutic for me. I really feel clear. Very clear. I didn't feel clear at the beginning of the hour.
Let's meet next week. Let's talk about this again.
All right.
And what can I tell you?
Do you have any advice, any final advice? Because, you know, you haven't passed judgment. You're normally, like I am, a tremendously judgmental individual. And I, you know, what would you do if you were me? Don't say something cruel. He's got his cruel laugh. That's his cruel smile. I'd put a shotgun in my mouth.
No.
Yes.
God, you put me in a weird position. Do you want the real answer?
Yes.
I'd say, do you be honest enough with yourself to say either you're going to actually quit and really quit, or just deal with the fact that you drink a lot? Or that maybe you have a drinking problem, or maybe you don't. But if you do it half-assed, if you do this thing, I'm just going to quit for a month.
Well, I've done that for the last couple of years.
And look how that's worked out. Look how you feel today.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm not busting your balls. Well, now, see, now you ask.
Now you've hurt me.
Would you rather I would have said something like,
No, you're saying go all the way or don't go at all. Don't talk about it, you know.
Yeah.
Do it.
It can't be like your diet. I mean, your diet can be one thing you can jump up and down and you know, round on. And, but this is this is booze. I don't mean it in Rob's way. I mean,
this is the destructive world of booze.
It's booze, but you know, I don't know if you're an alcoholic. I don't think you are. You drink a lot.
I know
a lot of guys that drink a lot.
Yeah. You know what? There's one concept about drinking that I've never been able to understand.
What?
How someone can go out, party their ass off, get up in the morning, and have hair of the dog. I don't know how people can do that.
Either.
I think it's disgusting.
If you feel that bad that you need that.
But that's one of the things in the book that I read. You know, that little pamphlet, you know, how you know when you're a boozer when.
Hi, Joe. Joe.
Mike, I got 3 Heinekens upstairs that will tune you right up, brother.
Joe's back there waving his hand.
Now, Joe, you can do that, right? You can get up in the morning after you've had one and hair of the dog it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's all I would say.
Joe is a breakfast drinker.
Esther, get off the pot. You know, really.
Well, I'll let you know in a month.
Either it's there or it's not there.
I'll let you know in a month. I look forward to disappointing you.
See, you don't disappoint me. You're my buddy. I don't care.
No, but I think, don't you think, though, that even if it's a month or 2 months a year, That's, you know, drying out, clearing yourself up, cleaning your system up. So that's better than, you know, if you were going balls to the wall the whole time.
I couldn't do that.
You can't?
I don't think I could.
Give it
really?
Up for a month?
No.
All right. Buzz, could you give weed up for a month?
I don't know. Think about it.
Give it up for a day?
Give it up before the show's over?
You'd have to start tomorrow.
Yeah.
Before the next commercial break.
Well, I'll keep you posted. I will let you know what's going on, and I'll let you know how I'm feeling.
All right, good.
But today,
come on.
I know, you're not feeling too perky.
I think I've expended all the effort I'm going to expend. I'm going to nod and smile for the rest of the show.
Excedrin?
This is not certainly
we're
not
doing anything taxing today, are we? We're not doing any particular...
Jarts. We're having jarts today.
We're not doing E to E today, are we?
At 4:40, we're doing the feats of strength.
We are going to do Larry today.
Oh, Larry's fine. I can do Larry in my sleep.
Well, good, that's
which
the
is
attitude.
Probably going to happen.
That's the attitude.
That's how Larry does it.
That's
exactly how Larry does it.
We're going to have a winning show today.
Who's the agent? I'm Larry from the corner.
That's Larry.
There you go.
Jesus Christ.
We need to break.
I know we do.
No,
there's a million calls.
What the hell do we need to break for, Rob, huh?
We don't break. We don't go home.
Come on.
Right.
Do you want to stay?
No, I don't want to stay. I mean, after the show's over.
Of course, friend.
You know what I mean?
Of course, friend.
I wasn't referring to the next hour.
You really? Hold on. No, you're kidding. You really feel that bad?
No. No, I
don't.
I did. I don't now.
When did it change?
About a half an hour ago. That's how bad I felt coming in here. I really did. I was faking it.
I couldn't tell.
That's high.
Me
you, know what that, you know what that's called?
What?
That, my friends, is called high functioning. High functioning.
Not to be confused with high yellow.
No.
High yellow.
Or high karate.
Or high and lowest.
High and lowest,
or just high.
Or just high.
Just and,
that's,
high
and that's like wrapped up in a nice little bow.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
All, it all comes full circle.
Okay, we got to... We do have to break, Mike.
All ready? Okay. I'm going to go get a drink.
Of water.
Mm-hmm.
A yes. Drink of water.
Hydrate.
That's what I've got right here.
All
right.
Hydrate.
Good man.
Just about three fingers of vodka in there.
Just a splash?
No problem at all.
No one likes it. Quitter.
Quitter.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.